This is how we all came into the world.
This is The Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling, your best source for women's wrestling commentary and recaps. And just when you thought there was nothing more guaranteed than Lana going through a table, blonde Carmella is back and ready for her push. I'm your Sydney Basic host, Liz.
I'm Joseph.
Yeah, and we're going to get into SmackDown right now. Why are you shaking your head already?
I guess we can talk about it.
So, Bayley versus Sasha happens on SmackDown. Bayley is challenging to regain her championship. And we're just going to start it off with a spoiler. Bayley doesn't get her championship back. And so we're going to take a moment to just, like, pay our respects. They've already talked about this Bayley and Sasha storyline being over and it being the end. And rest in peace, Sasha and Bayley.
That's why I'm shaking my head until I just remember that Bianca's still there. Because I was going to say, like, for the foreseeable future, this, unless they still keep clashing and Bayley's just like, no, I'm going to hit you with a chair everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there to hit you with a chair like I said she should have. Unless that happens, it seems like the last good SmackDown women's division for a while. But I forgot Bianca was there, so there's still some hope.
I caught a little bit of Bianca on one of those talking smacks, Raw Talk, whatever, and they were asking about who she'd want on the Survivor Series team. She said, like, oh, yeah, like, all the women in the locker room are great, but definitely she mentioned Bayley, and I can't remember who the other person was.
Not Sasha.
No, because Sasha can't be on the Survivor Series team. But she mentioned Bayley, and I was just like, no, don't relegate Bayley to Survivor Series duties unless she's just going to be
hitting people with chairs.
No,
I clean out the whole ring with a chair.
Or I mean, like, dead weight because she's upset.
Yeah, that's true. Sulking. Well, no, she could clean out everybody
Bayley
with a chair. And then when she does, Lana comes out from underneath the apron and she wins.
She'll be the sole survivor. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's talk about this Bayley and Sasha match. It was so good. It kicked off the show and it was so stupid sad because they showed the promo of Bayley and Sasha just like dominating for the last few months, especially during this pandemic. Apparently
carrying the company. Huh? Carrying the company.
Yeah.
Sasha becoming the best woman, the best wrestler on the planet, which may be fleeting now as well. That Kenny Omega decided he wanted to start wrestling again.
And this whole package that they put together, where it like they should have just put it to the memories. No, whatever that song goes. But you know, after watching it, Bayley was being interviewed and she was just like, you know, what's really sad about that package was that they didn't include that Sasha can never retain her championship. And so this is like, for me watching at home, it's like, okay, I know where this is going. Like, Bayley's not going to get her championship.
See, that's why I don't think I think they should have done that. And I think Sasha should have lost.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the book. And I don't think you exercise that demon on a weekday, on a regular weekly show.
Well, I was going to say, like, this match was so good for a weekday regular show. This was not a pay-per-view level one, but, like, man, this should have made, like, this could have been main evented too, but, like, for it to kick off the show, it was just, like, that burst of energy you needed.
They're going to keep giving the main event to, while Roman is as big as he is right now, he's going to be the main event.
Yeah, well, obviously.
But they, I didn't like the match as much as a lot of the other ones, but it was a good match. It was probably the best women's match we've seen. But they've raised the bar so much. It's like if this had been a Carmella versus, I don't know, take your pick, Ruby match, I would have been like, this is the best match that like women's division has seen in a while because the expectations would have been so low. But they've already set their bar so high that this it didn't go over it.
It was good. It was still just as creative as the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just as creative. It's just like the perfect Bayley Sasha type match. It's like, I don't know, like your reliable match. It wasn't like because it's not a pay-per-view. And it makes sense for it to have been this way. But just like, I know just the energy going into it, like for me anyway, it's like, Bayley's not going to take it back. And the way that it ended, like, yeah, there was just so many cool spots in it. I don't know. Was there something that you wanted to bring up?
No, first? Not necessarily.
Okay, so I love how Bayley forgot, like, she can't just win via countout.
It's muscle memory.
Well, and who was it? Corey Graves, like, mentioned, oh, yeah, like, she doesn't have this advantage anymore because she's not a champion. She can't win via countout. She actually has to pin her. So that's when she like, yelled at the ref, too. And went out to get Sasha to bring her back in.
That ref has a grudge against Bayley. That guy, I don't know what his deal is, but
it looked like she was telling him, like, "Why didn't you tell me?"
Yeah.
She's but
supposed to be expected to know this after like a year and some change of being a champion.
The way that it picked up at the end was really cool, but there's just like spots throughout it. I mean, like, what was it? Like Sasha hit her frog splash, but she didn't win with it. You know, Bayley hit her Bayley to belly. She didn't win with that. She hit her elbow. She didn't win with that.
Yeah, see, that's why, I mean, maybe that's one of the things that I didn't like about it, too, is, like, they're just wasting all these finishers.
Well, I think because they're really trying to, like, push that this is the end. This is the closing chapter of Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah, which, so if that's the case, never, on a pay-per-view.
There should never be an end between Bayley and Sasha. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, like they need, not that they need each other, but they need each other. Yeah, so just towards the end of the match, you know, Bayley brought in a chair and a kendo stick.
It was her chair. Like,
well, her chair, good old, was it Old Reliable or whatever? Yeah. I don't know what she named it. There's a couple of cool spots, you know, like Bayley hit the backstabber and the bank statement
on
Sasha.
She did a better backstabber than Sasha does.
You think so?
Well, I mean, she doesn't have to hit it as consistently, like it hurt more. But it looked... It looked cooler is why, probably because it was stiffer.
Yeah, because Bayley, she did her backstabber into a Bayley to belly, then the elbow, and Sasha still kicked out.
See, that's when it should have been it.
Yeah, because like that combination.
That's too much to not.
The fact that she put her in the bank statement, and like even Corey Graves is like, oh, this is poetic justice here. Again, another like. They shouldn't have done that if they weren't going to give Bayley.
If they're
the
just
title.
Gonna do like a finish where Bayley just taps out clean at the end, they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Combination. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was like a really cool sequence, and it was right at the end. Like Bayley was just like super fast. She kind of like whipped Sasha around before she kind of like to misdirect her. And then she bounced off the ropes and hit her with the knee. And I don't know. It just seemed like a lot of confusion that she was trying to do at the end. But, yeah, like she couldn't get the pin in. She ended up running into the post, the ring post, hurting herself. And that's where Sasha was able to take advantage. So she hit the backstabber on her, put her in bank statement, and Bayley tapped to that.
Just finish. And that's kind of it. It's like... Really, that's the end?
Well, I mean, throughout the whole match, too, like, Bayley was taking her time. She was, like, her villainous self.
She's laughing at her, like, when she fell and stuff.
Oh, we have to talk about the launch that happened. That was cool. Like, Sasha was
running. I think they've both been using that on social media. At least Sasha's been showing herself, like, flying.
Yeah, she, like, Photoshops herself. Yeah.
Or people do it and she just reposts it, probably.
Yeah, Sasha got, like, major air when she was running towards Bayley and Bayley just, like, launched her. She, like, pushed her off of her feet.
Like a cat playing with a toy.
Yeah, Sasha looked like a cat.
No, it looked like Bayley looked like a cat, like, pushing her up or playing with a toy.
Oh, and Sasha looked like a cat falling off of, like, a piece of furniture.
No, because she fell onto her head on the apron and then onto the ground. She looked like a kid falling. She fell with the grace of a 5-year-old.
But, yeah, so after the match was over, really making it clear, like, oh, end of the feud of Bayley and Sasha, whatever. Sasha goes up the ramp and she is met with a super kick to the face by Carmella. Carmella is not her best look. I don't know what's going on, but
that gear Yeah.
It's like worse than Aaliyah's bad crayon.
I hate it gear. More than Aaliyah's pink gear.
It's really bad.
If you listen to Take Under, oh man, that gear has been mentioned multiple times, and I think it's only showed up once.
It's true, because the following week she had a better color.
Yeah, and I liked it that week. It's same gear, but oh man.
Oh
that,
yeah, but this yeah, one that is sucked. Like,
it was a crappy debut, and they. We saw her on Talking Smack too. She just very clearly doesn't.
She's very one-dimensional. She is doesn't. The problem.
Yeah, I mean she just wasn't ready for this, and they moved her up way too soon, and she hasn't put in the work to get better.
Yeah, and coming off of this hot feud, she should be better than what she's doing right now.
She has like one or two like lines that she tries to recite. At least like on Talking Smack, mm-hmm. she kept trying to have like hit like one or two of the three of like the same lines over and over again. And then like every now and then would try and branch off of them, but wasn't comfortable or good enough in her character to do it. So then she'd come back to like, I'm just the prettiest and the best and everybody's jealous. And it's like, when we watched back that spot, like, it looked like they were supposed to transition to the Usos way sooner. And so, yeah, she just didn't know what to do. She's just
standing there.
She didn't even stand over her. Like,
she didn't, like, after super kicking Sasha, she should have been, like, in her face, yelling at her.
Roman
like,
showed
doing
you,
something.
Did a perfect example, like, 2 weeks ago. I know you saw that because everybody in the wrestling world saw that. Well, yeah, I guess obviously if she doesn't like wrestling the same way Nia doesn't like wrestling, then, yeah, she then might she have did. Not seen
and
it.
And Nia's her
But her
cousin.
Boyfriend is probably obsessed with wrestling. He probably had that loop over and over again for, like, all night the night that it aired.
But, yeah, like, Carmella came out to booze, and she just, like, she was just standing there relishing him. And, yeah, well, whatever. She was still like, you come out there looking like freaking Gladiator for 2 minutes, and then it gets kind of weird after a while. Yeah. So that's why it's just like, okay, what's the point of this? What is the point of this? Other than her being untouchable. And then when she came out on that Talking Smack. When she came out on that Talking Smack segment, it wasn't anything to further it other than just like I was women's champ before. I was the first Money in the Banker.
James Ellsworth was the first Money in the Bank women's winner.
Holder. But she listed off like her list of accomplishments and it's like, yeah, that's right. Like she was given those like wins or she took those wins, but that's the thing is like she's not that she's not that dynamic enough to where you're like listing off her accomplishments like Carmella did this and this and this, like nobody ever really does that with her the same way that everybody does it with like Bailey, Sasha, Charlotte. I don't know about Becky. I don't know what Becky's list of accomplishments are.
As a Charlotte stan, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say that beating Charlotte Flair is now going to start being listed as an accomplishment by women.
That's what Carmella mentioned.
And so, like, if beating Charlotte Flair twice is two of your accomplishments, then, you beat a person on the roster. Yeah, she's the best woman who's ever lived, but Rhea and Reyna are coming right up to take, and Becky and Bianca are coming right up to take that title from her, so that's not going to be an accomplishment soon. Yeah. And that was half of your resume.
Yeah. It was.
But I will say take it for now. Yeah, beating Charlotte Flair is an accomplishment. If you guys want to make that an accomplishment, I'm all for it. I support that decision.
Yeah, she said she beat Charlotte Flair twice and she beat Asuka.
Twice.
And so that's why it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That happened. Oh, and that she won the Mixed Match Challenge.
And those are all cheap stuff. Nobody cares about the Mixed Match Challenge. Also, like, that wasn't you, so why are you bragging about that?
Oh, yeah, because that's the other thing
she's not
saying.
Fun, Carmella.
Yeah, because that's what Kayla was trying to say was like what happened? Like, was it like, what's like this change in personality? And Carmella is just going off saying, like, well, that wasn't me. Like, that was, I don't know, forced Carmella.
I was being
Carmella.
Who everybody else wanted,
whoever else
me,
wanted
to be.
Me to be.
Like, what, you're hanging out with R-Truth. That guy's the best.
Yeah. And that's when you were actually very.
I mean, I get
enticing.
They're selling her character because they got it.
But it's not going in the right direction. They really shouldn't have turned her into this heel character.
You said it when we were watching Talking Smack. It's just Sasha's
That's the other
Sasha's return, and she's not as good.
She was basically parodying Sasha.
Yeah.
Because I was watching her, and I've seen her a couple of times before where she's talking. I'm like, why does this feel familiar? And then cut to talking smack. I'm sorry. Does not work for me. Not excited about this.
No.
Will still watch it, but still not excited about it.
I'm only watching until Bianca's there.
Well, we're going to get Survivor Series with Bianca. Yeah, so, no. All right.
That's why I'm watching.
Good segue, Joseph. We're going into the Survivor Series qualifier. Triple threat between Natty, Ruby Riot, and Zelina. My first note was Natty's gear. What in the trash bag was that coat? That was so bad. But then she's redeemed herself a little bit because she does have new gear. She's not in all black and pink. She's changing it up a little bit. She's got like some flame colors on there. But yeah, as far as the match itself goes, I had fun watching it. Yeah, I don't know about you.
It was really good. I will say this, though, as a criticism or as a critique is my... As a critique and a compliment to Natty. I think a compliment. My explore page on Instagram is like 90% Bret Hart now because I had to spend like 3 days looking up correct sharpshooters because Natty has let her sharpshooters go to hell. She does not squat deep enough in them anymore, and she used to for a while.
I don't know how
that's where you get the leverage. It's a compliment because... Well, I guess not a compliment.
It's a compliment because she was able to do them before.
No, it's a thank you for bringing all the Bret Hart back into my life this week and a critique because you need to start squatting lower in your
sharpshooters.
But the match was really fun. The ending was really cool.
So, okay.
I like Ruby's new hair.
Last week's qualifier match.
Much better than when it was falling out.
Well, I was going to say, it was very, because Billy Kay is in it, it was very like fun and more dangerous Three Stooges type of match. And in this week's match, it still had like those little like kooky elements, but way more technical and still pretty interesting.
And we get more Zelina wrestling.
Zelina needs to wrestle more. We're going to talk about, and I know this is going to be a knock on Carmella again, but Zelina does the same move that she does where she spins, where she, or like the person, what is this name of the move called?
I don't
called?
Know what it okay, is. That so one I don't know.
Zelina gets into position.
It's like a Hurricane Rana, but instead of flipping, your
opponent gets spun.
And you're
spun.
Facing down instead of facing up.
And
you're facing the ground instead of facing the ceiling.
What I never understood was, how is this supposed to hurt your opponent when they're spinning you? I don't understand it. But then I saw Zelina execute it, and it made sense to me. I was like, oh.
It's supposed to end like a Hurricane Rana.
Well,
it
ends in a
Hurricane Rana.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, Zelina is making her opponent spin by like, what's it like?
Whipping
her body to make that motion. And we never really see that. We never saw that with Carmella. That's why I hated that move. Because I'm like, they're just spinning her and somehow they're getting hurt.
Yeah,
that doesn't
it's like
make
a
sense.
Figure skating execution of it. Of that move.
Zelina did it right.
Yeah.
I get it now. Now I like the move. I need to see Zelina wrestle more because she
Everybody needs to see Zelina wrestle more because...
She uses her size to her advantage correctly. And she's still so, like, fun to watch because she's got a lot of character.
Yeah. She wrestles the way I think Alexa Bliss should wrestle. Like, a small, like, yeah. Like you said, using her size to her advantage. Like, she attacks low and, like, uses her speed and her ability to get out of stuff more than, like, trying to dominate or, like, stomp on people. Like, the way that Alexa used to wrestle. It was so out of place.
And, like, used to wrestle. We'll talk about that later. There was a cool spot where, oh yeah, Ruby's hair looks really good.
Yeah.
Love the pixie cut. Natty put Ruby into that hold, that submission hold where she like picks her up backwards, like in a tabletop deal. And it's funny because Zelina like squeezed in between Natty and Ruby and tried to pin Natty. And Natty was like, wait, what the hell? And so she like threw Zelina across the ring. But yeah, like there was a couple of other stuff that was funny. Oh, like Natty put Zelina in her sharpshooter and Zelina made it to the ropes and then Natty pulled her back to the center again. And as she's holding her in the hold, Ruby comes over to put Zelina in a separate submission hold. And Dummy, like, I don't know, maybe her peripheral isn't, like, very good. But she couldn't even see that Ruby was there, too, sharing the hold.
I mean, I will say this in the nicest way possible. She is the veteran of the group. And so her vision may not be as wide as it once was.
Natty,
like, we have a dog whose vision is not as wide as it once was. She's not the young spry pup she once was. She's the veteran of our pack. I will say that much.
So, like, maybe Natty's hearing is going bad. How do you not hear?
No, there's all that piped in noise. I'll give her that. okay. Yeah, I can't knock her for that. But your vision does, at least from what I hear, tend to get narrower as you become more of a veteran in WWE. And in life.
So Natty let go of Zelina. And as she's letting her go, because Zelina hasn't tapped and, Natty's getting like frustrated or whatever, lets go of Zelina. As soon as she does, Zelina taps to Ruby's submission. That's what she had her in, was a crossface. And Ruby won. So she gets the next spot on the team. And Natty was pressed, like she
I'm saying this should be her storyline, is all these triple threats and not making the team.
She's not gonna make the Survivor Series team
because she's been on so many, like, back to back. Give her a year off.
No, that's there's like so many other women around.
Well, her storyline, like, she doesn't have to participate in the match for Survivor Series to be her thing. This could still be her storyline.
Did she knock somebody out one time to get onto the Survivor Series team? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was her. Yeah,
I thought she got knocked out.
No, it was her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She did
it
to, like, Nikki or somebody that. She's like, don't worry, guys, I'll be on the team, because that's when she was team captain.
Yeah.
She's like, well, as team captain, I guess I just got to step in. I wonder how much longer they're going to
keep Natty away from this team. Yeah, should have gone more with that. That's right. They should have, that's what that was.
There was a little backstage segment with Billie Kay.
She's great. She actually, I think, at least when I was watching SmackDown on Friday, most of the compliments from wrestlers were on that segment.
Oh, she's so funny.
Yeah, she needs some more time all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And I know even Peyton has been, like, tweeting how she and Billy just have to be successful in their singles runs before they're ever a tag team again down the line.
When they reunite, I'm going to pop so hard for that.
That's the one that you're going to pop for?
Man, it's going to be like when Finn went back to NXT.
So Billy's hanging out backstage. The Street Profits are trying to get some intel on New Day because they're facing them at Survivor Series. There's a point to this. Billy goes up to them and she's like, Mr. Profits. She's like, I have some inside information on Raw. I can't do my Australian accent very well right now, but here's my headshot and my resume. It's getting a little cockney there. But yeah, basically they told her, they're like, we were on Raw at the same time as you. She's like, oh, all right. very short, very funny, very memorable. They need to just have more Billy Kay.
Yeah, that was like, she was on screen for maybe 20 seconds and everybody loved it.
Yeah, same power of Billy. That was it for SmackDown. We still don't know who the rest of the team of Survivor Series is. That's probably going to be the next couple of shows because it's in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, so Zelina, I would like to join it.
You think Bayley will be a part of it?
I don't think so.
Because Sasha's facing Asuka, and in the meantime, Sasha versus Carmella, unless Bayley's just going to insert herself into that, which she should.
Is anybody else there? Lacey's on Raw. Nikki's on Raw. I don't know. I guess they ran out of other people.
Well, I guess Liv is still technically... I think that's who Bianca mentioned was Liv, wanting Liv and Bayley
actually,
on the team.
Actually, that's who it's going to be, because they're going to end up taking those tag belts, and they're roots of their feud. Well, not roots, but strengthening of their feud with the tag champs is going to happen at Survivor Series.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So she's the fourth?
She'd be the fourth, and then the fifth would be Zelina.
Okay.
Unless...
Who's the third?
Well, it's Bianca, Ruby, and... I guess that's it.
Who was in the triple threat match with Billy and...
Bianca.
Bianca, yeah.
Yeah, it was Bianca and Natty.
So it has to be... Yeah, Natty's going to have to end up making the team just out of default. Because
there's not enough women on SmackDown. Yeah, and they're not going to put Carmella on the team.
Bianca's going to be like, we're just going to go in with four. Sorry.
We can do it with four people.
You lost every triple threat match that you had.
Bianca counts as two. That'd be funny if she's just like, no, I can't have you on the team.
Yeah, we can't take that liability. I'm sorry. I can't take them getting demoralized when you lose first, when you get eliminated first, because you'd be the weak link in the entire match. And that could set up a feud for Natty. Natty like, and oh, Bianca. And then Natty just keeps on trying to beat Bianca, and she can't because she's the... EST.
Oh, yeah. Bianca should start coming out with the best there is, best there ever was.
Oh, yeah. She should. Man, imagine Bianca like stitching her own pink and brown heart themed Bianca gear. Because she uses the hearts already.
Yeah.
Man, that would be awesome.
So let's talk about Raw. Lana's pink gear. Last week I was just saying she should be wearing not that bathing suit when she's just hanging out ringside. Yeah. And yeah, this week she came out with a little biker shorts. It looked really cute. Very hot pink. I love that she just stole like Natty's color scheme. It's like, yeah, she's not on Raw anymore. She's not going to need it.
What did she wrestle in before? Did she wrestle before we started watching? Or was she just Rusev's ballet?
When she debuted, she was the manager. She'd come out in, like, business suits.
Yeah, I know
And
that.
Then when she had her own gear, it was, like, the bathing suit. But it was usually, like, blue and silver. She's done, like, Wonder Woman colors.
Yeah, Captain Marvel stuff.
Yeah, but...
Everyone has a Captain Marvel.
I like that she does pink and black now.
Long lost heart.
We already said this. This needs to be revealed. Like, we've... No sense in hiding it now. We figured it out. So Lana came out. She's facing Shayna Baszler for some reason. And she, like, came out very low confidence. And, yeah, she wasn't looking forward to this match, obviously. I'm sure not because she didn't want to die. Sexy muscle friends are ringside. Well, they're on commentary for some reason. And, yeah, this is just, like, your regular squash match. But you know what? Shayna was moving a lot slower than I'm normally used to seeing her.
Yeah, I just want to see Shayna in a real match.
Yeah, enough of these.
These tag matches have been crap. I mean, even though she was paired with like Sasha and Bayley, her partner, just those matches were fine. They weren't anything good. I want to see Shayna in them.
Shayna versus Asuka. Just get it done already.
Fight. Like, those are where her matches end up being. And her tag matches are wrestling matches. They're not fights. I need to see Shayna in a fight. It's been so long since I've seen her fight somebody.
Shayna put Lana in the Karaputa clutch. Lana tapped right away. I didn't appreciate the comments from Dana Brooke saying, what was she's like, oh, come on, Lana. Like, Dana, you literally tapped out to that move the week before. What are you, oh, come on, Lana, about?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we love Dana, but...
That was the wrong thing to say.
You need to show some humility.
Especially when you and Mandy have not won your tag matches. Like,
or
come
done
on.
Anything.
Like, ever. Yeah, they want to blame it on Lana. But no, if anything, Lana probably helped. You didn't take advantage when you should have. You got caught up in that hold. But they did help Lana. They saved her from going through a table.
Almost.
The first time. Oh, yeah. So then later in the night, let's talk about really quick Alexa and Nikki backstage. Because we haven't really talked about Alexa's whole bit right now on Raw. We always like forget to bring it up.
Because it's only a couple seconds. But yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch her in this role. Like, she's a great actress.
She's finally found, like, the good part of her, or where she excels at in WWE.
So she's part of the Fiend's Firefly Funhouse. I don't know. She's not possessed or anything.
Well, we haven't seen that part yet.
We don't know what it is, but, like...
It took a while before we saw the Fiend, too. We saw Bray Wyatt just as...
Oh my gosh, we haven't even seen, and that's all we've seen Alexa as, as Firefly Funhouse.
I mean, we saw
Alexa.
Like the, I don't know if it, I don't think they're going to put a mask on her. I think they're just going to do that face with like the tongue sticking out thing.
She did like her cool tongue trick.
They're going to, and like when she looked all possessed towards Nikki, I think that's just going to be her transformation, but her gear might be different.
I think they should really go out and make her look gross or something. They should do it. But yeah, basically Nikki was talking to Alexa.
Just make her Abaddon. Fucking AEW is not using a gimmick. Just steal it.
Well, either way, Alexa being under the Fiend's spell or whatever has been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nikki's been talking to her backstage and is like, I don't know. I couldn't remember exactly what she told her, but she's just like, I guess, trying to snap Alexa out of it, telling her, you know, like, are you really going to choose him or blah, blah, blah. I don't know if she said, like, choose me.
I don't know.
It ended with Alexa saying, I choose him. And then she just took off. So she's lost to Nikki. Like, Nikki's not going to be able to save her.
I don't like that storyline for Nikki. They should have let that go. It's been way too long since we've seen, like, any Nikki and Alexa are friends. Like, we've seen we've seen Alexa with the Fiend for a month now since we've seen Alexa.
Especially since they've moved to Raw. Just give Nikki a brand new thing. And maybe this is it. Maybe Nikki's just like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to go do my own thing then.
Turn her back into the Rat King because she lost her one and only friend and make her Lacey Evans's worst nightmare.
She should be turned back into the Rat King at the hands of Alexa and the Fiend.
No.
I like that idea.
I
write
don't
it down.
Know if I like that idea. I maybe lose her mind and then...
Unless she's going to attack the Fiend to save Alexa. I don't know. You think that's going to keep going?
Nah. I mean, yes, I do, but I don't want
actually,
it
you know
I
what?
I really do not like that.
No, that would make sense.
She's a good wrestler. Put her in the ring with somebody.
Well, I was going to say, that would make sense. And right now, they're like not utilizing their women at all on this three-hour program. They may as well be like competing with AEW for like hatred of women in their show. But I don't know what's going to happen with that.
We could probably turn that women's division around in like 3 weeks. Because all you do is, you break away Nikki. Nikki goes back into like her crazy Nikki. Nikki, not Lacey. Nikki makes Asuka's life a living hell. You have a feud for your champion.
Yeah, that's right. You get
your deep feud
continuing feud
with people who are really good in the ring and will put on good championship matches, at least for the next couple months.
Yep.
So that resolves your women's championship. Your tag teams, give that belt to Ruby and Liv
and then you have
turn Shayna and Naya
against each other
and have that feud
there going. And because they both want to go for the women's championship, obviously. They were talking before Naya's match against Asuka, they were hanging out backstage with Smart Autonomous Robot acting human. And Naya was saying how, you know, her confusion over like everyone else proclaiming they run Raw when she does. Mind you, she did this in her very monotone and boring voice, so I was like barely awake to listen to it, but I got the gist. even Shayna like butted in because she was like, there's like, you know, confusion over who runs this division. And Shayna's like, I do, which we haven't seen from Shayna, but like, I kind of like her little goofiness that she plays off.
Believable than anybody else right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, you think of the two in that tag team that Shayna would be like the dull one, like especially.
One of them was a model.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'll tie this in because you haven't seen the show, and I'll tell you the reference later. But if you've seen Queen's Gambit, there is a monologue about models in there, and it seems to ring true for Naya, is all I'm going
to
say.
I guess I need to listen to it because after watching many years of America's Next Top Model, I feel like I would be kind of like an expert on this. And
having watched a lot of America's Next Top Model, I didn't get this impression from the Next Top Model. I do get this impression from Naya. moving on. So you partner up with Sexy Muscle Friends and put them against Lacey, or Lacey and Peyton for 1 week. Lacey and Peyton still fighting it out. So then the next week you have Lacey and Peyton fight each other again.
Oh, yeah. What's the deal with trying to pair Lacey and Peyton?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You try to do it and then it doesn't work, and then you have something for them to do. That's half a month worth of matches for them. I guess,
but like Peyton's already on Twitter saying like, we are not a team. I will only ever be a team with Billy. So this could just also be a work, like where they're going to force them together, and that sucks, but get through it, I guess.
Yeah, no, they're not going to be – I don't think they're going to be a tag team, especially because Peyton – at least all the rumors are about Peyton's getting a single push. But that's why she needs to have, like, someone to fight and feud with, and that can be Lacey.
And she hasn't been on TV. Like, what is the whole 3 hours of Robin devoted to anyway?
More Randy Orton. As much Randy Orton as they can possibly squeeze into 3 hours.
Oh, we saw maybe a little bit of a hint of, maybe something between Mia or Reckoning and Asuka the line. That's right. So, Retribution made an appearance, and Reckoning called out Asuka. But it wasn't like a challenge or anything. It was just like in passing and like maybe setting up for down the line, which I think would be more interesting than a lot of the other women on this roster. Come on.
I mean, in concept, yes. I've watched a lot of Mia matches, and not one of them were any good. And she was in the ring with Shotzi. She was in the ring with Charlotte. She was in the ring with Rhea. She was in the ring with Io. She was in the ring with the greatest NXT wealth of talent that they had. Not one good match.
I think where Mia really shines is in like those group matches, like the ladder matches and stuff, because she goes through ladders very well.
I guess it just didn't occur to me until you said it right now. Like, yes, we know Mia's here. We've been clowning on it. Like, and I guess I just, because every time something goes on with Retribution, she comically like doesn't do anything. She just shouts or just runs out. And like the only thing that she's ever done on screen is get all this blowback because she was faking a possession that they wanted to look like a seizure or some shit. So like that's the only thing that's happened to this point. So to this point, like, I haven't considered her a wrestler. Now that when we saw that promo, I was like, oh yeah, in concept, like considering we don't have anything going in the Raw like that going on Raw, that's fine. Now that I'm actually thinking about Mia in the ring on the main roster,
Reckoning,
you chose to bring this person to the main roster from that division. I mean, I guess it goes with the fact, like it pairs with the fact that Naya is here and Lacey is here and Carmella are here. But are you serious? This is the person that you gave that, like, whatever, that opportunity to, and it's...
We haven't seen it yet, but yeah, end rant. let's get back to the match between Asuka and Naya. So we were talking about them backstage and Naya claiming to run the division, and at Survivor Series, she'll take out whoever, and then maybe she'll challenge for the title, right? So the match itself wasn't Naya's worst. Definitely not good. Definitely not good.
Talking about not putting on good matches. At least Asuka, I've sat through most of them. Mia's.
You know what's funny is that like Asuka and Naya have worked together a lot going back to NXT. And like Naya probably works best with Asuka because she's probably had the most experience with her.
And Asuka's really good.
And Asuka's very good. But there wasn't any more, like, evolution between them. The most that we can say is Naya didn't hurt Asuka. And there was, like, a couple of spots where, you know, she got, like, her couple of power bombs in, her slams in. But really, Asuka was hitting these submission holds. She did that cool octopus hold that I like, which the name for it is called Manja Kitami, however you want to call it, according to the AEW commentary, people. Yeah, so she put her in that hold. She did like a few other ones too. I mean, Nia got her her greatest hidden, which is just swinging someone against the barricade. but her arm was already like messed up because Asuka was working on it. She put her in arm bars. But yeah, like she, that was probably the most that Nia really did, was getting that slam in. She got in a power bomb. She got in like a power slam. And Asuka was the one that was like doing a lot of the work. You know, she was striking, she did her hip attacks. And then she got distracted by Lana and Shayna on the apron. Cause like Shayna was trying to insert herself and cause like a commotion, but Lana got involved too. Because I don't know if you noticed, but like the women were ringside again.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Cause they're all
for this reason.
Cause it's Survivor Series.
I guess so. Is this like the hype up? The hype weeks?
I guess.
Their team's already decided. So Lana and Shayna are going at it on the apron. Asuka knocks them off. And then she gets Lana, or she, Nia, Asuka gets Nia back into her Asuka lock.
Yeah.
And that's when Shayna came in and broke it up and just DQ'd the match. So that kind of annoyed me because we've been getting like Lana going through a table. We're wondering, where's the payoff? It's probably going to be at Survivor Series, but...
So we got another, at least two tables.
Make probably. It an even 10. But I was, like, thinking, cool, like, we're seeing, like, Nia get some of her own medicine back in the form of Asuka. But what was annoying is that Asuka didn't, like, dominate Nia like she should have. Like, we all know she is capable of. And you had to have Shayna come in and break up the match, so... Yeah, that was kind of like,
Yeah, I mean, the match was just, it's like, getting time with Nia towards the end of a show, or getting time with Asuka towards the end of the show is your time to shine. And we've talked about it on here.
Yeah.
You have to grab those moments.
Yeah.
Billy did it with 20 seconds and just dialogue.
Yeah.
3 days prior. And you had time with one of the best women's wrestlers that has ever lived. And this is what you guys
You can't even, yeah, you can't even pull out anything cool, anything good. And that's what's, like, annoying about watching, like, and even though Nia didn't win or anything, but, like, seeing her come out on top, I guess this is just me getting worked, but, like, seeing her come out on top is, like, super frustrating because it's like, this shouldn't be working out this way.
That's why, like, I think I'm even past the frustrating point to, like, of the booking of, like, I'm getting to the point where I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And well, it sucks that's, because that's Asuka's involved. That's the symptom of Nia. Yeah, like.
that's what always happens. She is. The energy vampire from what's it called, that show? Like
in the shows, yeah.
When she cuts promos, when she's in the ring, it's just like melatonin. I don't like her whole bit is like being the bully, right? Like Nia,
yeah, I think so.
She, like she can dish it, but she can't take it because you heard that in her like annoying ass screams. When Asuka had her in the submission holds.
The bully who gets punched in the face and then goes crying to the teacher.
And needs, like, Shayna to come help her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, Raw's, it's there. It's happening.
It's very grateful for AEW right now, I'm sure about that.
Yeah, but if they're not careful.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about AEW. They had their pay-per-view. We didn't watch it because I don't want to pay $60 for it. But apparently, if you have a VPN for another country, it's a little bit less expensive. But I have no desire to have to go through those extra steps.
I have multiple VPNs on multiple devices, and I have no desire to give AEW any money until they give us a reason to watch women's wrestling.
Yeah. So Serena Deeb versus Allison Kay kicked off the show, or yeah, it was a pre-show.
Pre-show, right?
Because
we
Serena
should have
Deeb...
watched that match. We'll watch it before we talk more shit on it next week.
Well, I watched it.
Okay, I should have watched that match. I didn't know you watched it.
Well, it was on the pre-show, probably because Serena Deeb is the NWA champion. Yeah. And they're defending it on AEW. Whatever. I guess it's like a co.
It's because they haven't like been able
coalition
to.
Coalition between AEW and NWA. Anyway.
Convince New Japan that they're good enough to work partner with them. And yeah. With the shit that they're starting to pull, the gimmicks they're starting to pull now, I don't know that they're going to be able to.
Well, okay, so this match itself was really just a showcase for Serena Deeb. Allison Kay, to her credit, like, she's worked with Serena before, and they worked really well together, but there was nothing that stood out about her. And I know we've seen her before, too. We've seen her wrestle Mercedes Martinez.
How many other matches are like that? I haven't seen it, so I can't say. But, like, how many other matches are just showcases for somebody?
Most of them. Yeah. And so, like, Serena Deeb, okay, I laughed at this because the commentators, like, referred to her, you know, as a yoga instructor, you know, totally dismissing the fact that she's, like, been an independent wrestler, like, years before and was a WWE trainer.
For years,
like, the head women's trainer. Yeah. Like, she... She's not just a yoga instructor. Even I know that. So
I think they know their audience is informed
so.
Enough to not. Like, they don't have to do
they don't
that.
Have to say it.
WWE like, could probably not get away with doing that because they have pretty, like, basic fans. It's just on TV all the time. But AEW, I don't think, has to worry about that.
Well,
if you're watching wrestling on YouTube before a pay-per-view, you
true.
Probably know who's ready
that's
to true. Do. So they could get away with saying, like, just to move past it and stay in the match.
Well, I would suggest watching this match just because, like, I really love watching Serena work. She, you know, like, it was one of those slow burn type matches. She got in, like, a lot of really cool submission holds. Like, I guess that's her thing. She did that hanging octopus move, the Manja Kitami. And there was a couple cool spots where she was doing, like, swinging neck breakers. She did two hanging neck breakers. One was off of the apron. And so she hit Allison into the ropes. Like, it looked bad. What else did she do? There was just so much cool, like, spots that was all just like, oh, Serena's so cool. That's what you should watch that match for. It and, like, for a championship match, it wasn't, like, that caliber. But it was just, like, a pleasure to watch Serena Deeb. At the end of it, Thunder Rosa came out.
That was what I did see.
Yeah, and so she...
I was like, yeah, why are we doing NWA, like, feuds here?
Well, I guess they have, like, a thing together. But yeah, Thunder Rosa came out. She wants her title back. For some reason, it's super tiny and, like, very clashy.
She wants her bangle back.
She wants her bangle back.
Very clashy.
Well, it's white and silver and red.
Yeah. That's why I'm laughing.
And there's, like, a portrait. You get your portrait put in the middle of it instead of, like, your name or nameplate.
I saw that when I've seen the stills.
It's very Michaels adjacent.
Have you seen a lot of indie titles, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it fits in with that. The one that I was talking about a few weeks ago that Kaylee Ray won was just, like, a little Spartan helmet plat, like out of, like, a Spartan trophy run.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Just implanted on a belt.
And that was it.
Yeah, it was just like a metal thing. I mean, it had like plates and stuff, but it's just kind of like cheap.
These puny belts.
Yeah, we watched WWE and AEW. I mean, in fairness, AEW's men's belt is pretty gaudy, especially considering...
Oh, you mean the TNT one?
No, the other one.
Oh, the main belt?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's gaudy in terms of size. Like, it's huge.
Yeah, it's really big. Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, that's where all their budget went to was those belts and not the women's
Definitely
one.
Definitely not the TV title, the TNT title.
The other match that happened, I didn't watch it. I saw the end of it, and it was Sheeta versus Nyla Rose. Apparently, Sheeta used her knee a billion times on Nyla because she injured it. And at the very end, she, like, did her running knee and just... kneed Nyla in the face like four times before she pinned her. That's what took her down. So I'll find the match somehow.
Yeah.
Still not gonna pay for it, but Sheeta retained.
Yeah, there's means.
Aubrey Edwards had to help her out. she has one of those Rebel Alliance tattoos on her wrist. Pretty sure it's that one. You could tell me. That was like the one takeaway. So she helped Sheeta out of the arena, whatever. And Vicky was pissed, and she like got in Nyla's face, and she's just like yelling at her. And Nyla told her, she's like, "Yeah, go ahead, slap me." And Vicky slapped the crap out of Nyla, and Nyla just took it, and she like just walked away with her head hanging down. And it was like Vicky was just telling her something, like, because she was, I think Nyla said something like, "I'm Nyla Rose," and Vicky was like, "Oh yeah, well then act like it." That's what she took off. It was super weird. We didn't see anything on Dynamite about it, so like whatever. I guess we'll find out later.
I mean, I would say that bodes well for Vicky wanting to expand at that point for what you want. I don't think that they should do that. Unless it's like a swerve where Vicky expands and then like 2-3 people in, Nyla is like, "No, this sucks," and leaves. They turn her face and then she just goes through destroying the Vixens. There, I fixed your one storyline in your women's division.
You're welcome, Tony Khan.
You don't have to resort to the storylines you use, the stereotype storylines you used on Dark.
So let's talk about Dark really quick.
Or no, not on Dark, on Dynamite.
Well, we're going to talk about Dark. Leva Bates versus Danny Jordan. My only thing is, how can Danny Jordan be a mean girl if she's not part of a clique? It just doesn't make any sense.
What did you say?
Huh?
What did you say about her?
I don't remember. Insert very tasteless joke here. There was somebody that fought. There was a tag match. Dream Girl Ellie and Jenna Side.
Great name. 80 grade name. Oh, man.
But, yeah.
Perfect drag queen name. Everybody should have. Every industry should have a genocide going forward. I'm just going to say that.
They looked like middle school boys that found, like, wrestling costumes.
No, they looked like they were out of the sketchbook of a middle school boy.
There you go.
Or, like, Sasha's husband, his sketchbook.
When he was in middle school and designing gear.
Yeah.
So they faced Ivelisse and the Amante.
Straight out of an 80s cartoon.
This match was just like, ugh, what a waste of Ivelisse.
Yeah.
What a waste.
They're both really good.
They're really good, but Ivelisse really should be like shot to the moon. She did her sharpshooter, which is actually, I found out, called, oh my gosh, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but it's scorpion in Spanish, alacrán.
That's awesome, because the alternate name for the sharpshooter was coined by Sting and is a scorpion deathlock.
You should know that Sting is Joseph's favorite.
One of.
After Bret Hart, as we learned today in this episode as
Maybe
well.
Maybe tied with Bret Hart.
So, there was something else. Oh, they have tag names. Ivelisse and Diamante are sicarias, which is hitmen or female hit women, female assassins, which is awesome.
Are they're doing a tag team? No.
No. That's Impact. No, but sicarias are the tag team tournament.
Yeah, they have those medals.
World Cup extravaganza holders.
Yeah.
They hold the medals. so like this match itself was just like a really, again, showcase match. What's her name? Dream Girl. She looked like Dream Girl Ellie. She looked like Star Child from Kiss. Sans makeup.
Yeah, she took a good amount of a beating.
Did she have makeup? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like Genocide, I think, has a cool look. Not now. She's a big girl who could like dominate any division that she would be in if she probably like could get more training under her belt, more like experience under her belt, but not in that gear. Like, you need to really change it up. You are like really intimidating. don't look like a cartoon character.
Don't look like a cartoon character.
That's the one thing you need to not do in professional wrestling. Look, it works for Reyna. It works for Rhea. Works for Charlotte. Like, just be that.
So let's go over Impact really quickly because we are going kind of long and we still have NXT. Impact. We just saw Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood versus Havoc and Nevaeh. And they're just kind of ramping up more tag team matches because they're going to have tag team titles for the Knockouts division. So Havoc won. She does a tombstone. That's her finisher.
That's cool.
On Madison. Tennille was just like done with her. So there was a backstage segment where she was asking Jordynne Grace to be her tag partner.
Tennille.
For the Knockouts titles. Yeah.
That'd be cool if she just keeps on cycling through tag partners if they keep losing. Well, she can't figure out she's the problem.
Turning point is this week. And that's where Jordynne Grace said Tennille could prove her, like, trustworthiness to her, and then maybe she'd be her partner.
Is that another pay-per-view?
I think so. Oh, okay. And then the other thing that I saw was Deonna was being interviewed. She had What's-Her-Face with her Kimberly. They're talking about her rematch against Soo Young at Turning Point, and it's a no-disqualification match. So Deonna was saying she's never done a no-DQ match, but, hey, like, she's the first Impact Iron Woman, so I'm sure she's going to, like, get through it because she's a virtuosa. And as she's talking, Kimberly disappears. And she was like, where did she go? And she, like, looks through a hallway and then she's found a room with a window. And it said, I think you're alone now. And then Kimber just, like, on the window and was like, ugh. So I guess she got beat up by Soo Young or something. And the mystery of who shot Johnny Bravo, Rosemary's new husband is still underway.
It was Rosemary.
That's why they're like, was it Rosemary? Was it so-and-so? So on NXT, we got Raquel and Xia Li.
Almost.
Almost. That dude, Boa, he came out to inform Raquel that Xia Li wasn't coming. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And Raquel just takes out her frustration on him and, like, she kicked him in the head.
Beat the shit out of that guy.
And then she beat him up.
She threw him into the barricade like 3 times.
She was pissed.
She one-arm powerbombed him. I'm pretty sure she got that guy's death warrant signed.
Well, she was telling him, she was like, just basically for everyone to keep their name, her name out of their mouths.
Yeah, my one critique, because I love Rhea, or because I love Raquel so much, is she needs to be more confident.
Mm-hmm. And like work on her delivery.
Stumbled a few times and like, no, you don't need to do that.
You can't do that.
Not only can you not do that, but you don't need to do that because in my opinion, she's the best thing about NXT right now. And this is my favorite. Like, the only wrestling show I don't miss.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to be fully bought into her character because she could be the coolest thing about this show right now.
Yeah, she's still pretty young too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the way you're saying, like, once she just, like, has that fully realized confidence, like, she's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about the promo real quick about Rhea versus Io next week.
Yeah.
Is that for the title?
Yeah.
So this is a pretty well put together promo.
Yeah, because Halloween Havoc was for the number one contender, I thought.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So they kind of brought up Rhea just wanting her title back, how she was supposed to have, like, this cool WrestleMania moment, but then there was no crowd. She, like, I don't know if she blames her loss against Charlotte on the no crowd, no energy. Maybe that's what fuels her.
Caught that line, and I think that's a good, like, retconning of it.
Well, you think about when she won the NXT title, her being, like, rushed in, with the fans them lifting her up. Maybe that's, like, what she needs.
As soon as I heard that line, I was like, that is the perfect retcon for this and for her to, like, go up. The thing that I don't like about it is because, and maybe this is just me sticking to my, like, being biased towards our own ideas, but on Takeover, we were talking about how, like, Rhea needs to really get, we would like to see Rhea get really beat down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had lost to Raquel. I was okay with her not losing to Raquel, but like if she had lost to Raquel, lost to maybe somebody else, like just really completely undermine all of her confidence and then like start to get it back like slowly that way. It seems like they're trying to rush that with her saying in this, like going on further in that promo saying like, oh, everybody said after that loss to Charlotte was gonna break me. It's like, no, because you're 22 and you look unstoppable. But I am physically intimidated by you. Like there's nobody that ever said that was gonna happen.
Well, I was gonna say
and so that's what I'm saying, like they're trying to cheat the storyline and say like, oh yeah, see, she took this loss like 6 months ago. Rhea's confidence is completely shocked.
You fought
for the title months after that.
You fought for the title, she lost to Io and that triple threat, and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah, like you don't get to just rush that because like just because she wasn't involved doesn't mean you get to rush her storyline that she was losing. What was she losing matches in, like underground basements? No, there was nothing like that.
Like
happening.
If anything, use this pandemic to your to your advantage and say like, yeah, I was kept from having these matches, like because she wasn't worked into any feuds. Mm-hmm. It was all about Dakota and Tegan and Candace.
And keep on building on that storyline of like not having the crowd. So like if you wanna have the like disbelief or like the doubt for her winning there, don't have it on, oh, like my confidence is shot because I lost one match 6 months ago. Have it on my confidence is shot because that big match when I lost, there was nobody here.
Yeah.
That was in your house? Was there a crowd then?
No. I don't know. I don't remember.
They had their internal crowds.
Oh, okay.
So, like, yeah, crowd of my coworkers isn't a crowd of fans because I beat the crap out of all these women. So, like, have that be the doubt going into this. Like, the crowd's still not going to be here. Maybe like, we have the Thunderdome, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, Rhea still needs the WWE universe.
Yeah, and then you can have her be still, like, that Becky booking that you always give her when crowds come back. And, like, it just makes more sense to do that instead of trying to cheat this storyline that you can use for her later when Raquel beats her and then, like, have her lose over and over again and finally get her confidence.
Do you
shot.
Think she's going to win next yes. week? I think so, too, think only she, because... this EO reign is a dud.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the only reason why.
I've given so much time to that. I'll take under. And I love the women's division here, and the only thing I don't like about it right now is this championship.
It's really too bad, too.
Yeah, because EO's great. I mean, I like EO matches. I know you're like the lowest person on EO.
I don't get hyped for her, but I do appreciate...
Yeah, you don't shit on her, but you don't... You don't look forward to her matches. I look forward to some of her matches and her getting in the ring with people. But, like, it just almost always underwhelms me. Or, like, this reign for sure has – I've said it before and I'll say it again. It just has meant nothing.
In this promo, she talks about, you know, as a champion, you can't have, like – I can't remember exactly how they worded it, but I made fun of it as, oh, you can't have any personality when you're a champ because it'll just be a distraction. But that's kind of like basically like EO said she has to stay focused and unemotional to stay champ. But it's like, look at Bayley. She was a champ for over a year. but I guess that's just the way EO has to work. Like she just has to become devoid of any sort of character.
Yeah, which doesn't make for a good title reign.
All right, well.
Also, participating in matches makes for a good title reign.
Let's talk
How
about.
How many defenses has she had?
She's had a couple. Well, I kind of see Rhea taking the title back next week. And then you could get like cool storylines with Rhea as your champ.
Then you can also break off, like, let's say Dakota's finally going to go for it and Raquel's like, no, fuck that. I'm going to go for it.
And then they can break off. That breaks up Dakota and Raquel.
Yeah, like, then they have their storyline and then Rhea can fight Ember, Rhea can fight Tony, like... women's division is so stacked. I love it.
Let's talk about the match between Candice LeRae and Toni Storm. Man, when you see Toni Storm just alone, like, she looks good. She looks fit. She looks hot. And when she comes out, like, compared to Candice is so tiny, I guess is what it is. Like, she really is that pixie. But, like, her matched up against Toni, I guess I never really noticed it. But, like, yeah. It was just funny to watch. This match was really cool. because it was like that simmer type match. Mm-hmm. Candice didn't pull out any of her like flips or springboards till the very end. And Tony the whole time was just like rushing and charging. She was doing her headbutts on her.
Well, she wrestles.
Yeah. No, like,
we just haven't seen it like for a long time. We haven't seen it extended for a long time because yeah, the last match got interrupted with Shotzi.
Well, Candice, we should add, before the match started, they did the recap of Candice Shotzi running.
Shotzi did a promo.
Yeah, Shotzi was talking about her tank getting crushed by Candice and how it's not just a cool car.
It's not like, just it's the coolest transportation ever in the history of all time. It's also a part of her.
And so, yeah, Shotzi's just calling out Candice, saying that, you know, she's not coming for revenge. Like, she's just coming to kick her ass. And then she'll get revenge.
Yeah, I thought it was going to end with her blowing up the Gargano's house with a real tank. I mean, we know she has access to it. We saw the thing. And tanks don't have wheels, so Johnny's got all, like, he's not prepared for things that don't have wheels anymore. He's retrofitted everything to wheels now that he loves them.
So this plays into it because, okay, so this match ended. I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to talk about, like, specifically in this match. But it ended with Candice pinning Tony and cheating by getting her legs on the ropes to leverage better. But Tony was pissed afterwards because she knew she cheated. And she just started to pummel Candice some more.
I mean, in fairness to Candice, there's no way Tony could have known she cheated.
Oh, what?
She was rolled up.
Oh.
Tony just wanted to hit somebody.
She was upset about it. And then Candice's new ghost friend came out to help her. And Shotzi came out to fight the ghost as well.
Well, it's because they both beat up Tony and threw her out. Yeah. So Shotzi came out to defend Tony and start getting her revenge.
And get some ass kicking in on Candice and the ghost. But they overpowered Shotzi. And Candice was like, yeah, go ahead and reveal yourself, ghost.
Pulled off a terrible version of Candice's finisher. They should have just let Candice do it alone.
Yeah.
But I was shocked.
You were shocked? Yeah, I did not see this coming. This reveal is probably like going to go down as even above the reveal of Mustafa Ali being the hacker. Like this, did not see it coming.
I mean, it's as shocking as the Carmella reveal.
It's above even that reveal.
I don't know about above. Definitely.
Well, let's just say WWE is killing it with their reveals.
WWE needs to reimburse me for my ceiling bills to take my mind off of it. God.
The ghost was indie.
Indie art, well, since the time she gave them a stupid demo package. Of course it was indie the whole time. You could have just had her walking around without the ghost mask and helping them and like within Halloween Havoc. Let her put her face out there and become somebody instead of hiding it.
I mean, like, it was in the spirit of Halloween. Somebody's bright idea was like, I should use the mask.
So they should.
You should use the mask. You could
also do the reveal after she runs over the tank and she's in the back seat. Like, as they're pulling away, the mask comes off, too.
And then just them, like, laughing. Like, that would have made more sense.
For another week. Anyway, whatever. That's not that big a gripe. It's just dumb. But I think Indy has some potential, so I'm very interested in seeing. We're going to get a tag team match between the four of them at some point and then see them go forward after that.
We need to see Candice and Indy versus Dakota and Raquel at some point.
Yeah, well, they're going to do Candice and Indy versus Tony and Shotzi probably next week or week after, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Shotzi is Rhea's partner. Hello?
Not until Rhea gets the belt.
Well, that was it for NXT. That's it for the show. We've gone way over. So unless there's anything else that you want to add, just go watch some more women's wrestling.